Welcome to Your Family Dog, a podcast dedicated to helping families love living with dogs. Here are your hosts, Julie Fudge-Smith and Colleen Pilar.
Hi, welcome to Your Family Dog. I'm Colleen Pilar, and I'm here today with Julie Fudge-Smith. And we're going to be talking about summer activities with your dog, picnics and celebrations and 4th of July activities. And I recently read a statement from the American Humane Association that said that July 5th is the busiest day at animal shelters because so many dogs become frightened and get loose during 4th of July festivities. And I think that's just so traumatic that we'd like to talk about how we can set people up for success with their summer activities. So what do you think about that, Julie?
I think that's an amazing statistic, but it doesn't really surprise me when I think about it, because the 4th of July can be extraordinarily fun and for us.
For people,
but not necessarily for dogs. Here in Granville, for example, they close off Main Street and have a big carnival on our main street. And lots of people bring their dogs, and I'm seeing them having a really good time. But the dogs aren't. The rides, they have, you know, carnival rides. They're loud and make whoosh and bing and bang noises, and it startles dogs. And the pavement's hot. And they have a stage where there may be a band firing up. It might be, you know, dancers. It could be singers. There's all kinds of things that are really fun for people, but not so much for dogs. It can be extraordinarily stressful, especially if your dog is not one that enjoys crowds of people. So if you're going to go to a festival or some sort of carnival, I would recommend that you leave your dog at home with a Tasty Kong on a nice cooling mat in or in his kennel or something along that line. Which also brings me to, there's a lot of odd noises around the 4th of July. Like I said, the carnival there has all these whizzings and banging and that kind of stuff. But fireworks, perhaps, are the one that come to mind the most for me. And not only your big community fireworks, which your dog does not need to go to because he's not going to ooh and aah. He's probably not even going to see them. He's going to be terrified by the bangs and the whooshing and the people and the sparklers and the people setting off little smoke bombs and that kind of stuff. So at the main fireworks, please don't take your dog because they're really not going to enjoy it. And the second thing is there are neighborhood fireworks, which unfortunately will go off not just on the 4th, but on the 3rd and the 6th. And, oh, look, we found a couple of extra, and it's the 9th of July. Why not? You know?
Yeah.
So it can be really hard for your dog. And so what happens is that your dog may be in the kitchen, and the windows are open because it's a nice day, and the fireworks go off, and the dog freaks, goes through the screen door, and gets lost and ends up in the shelter. Or if the dog, you may even have your dog with you on his leash, and somebody does something, or one of the carnival rides does a big blast or a honk, and your dog slips his collar and takes off and ends up in the dog shelter. So I think that
that's best case. Worst case is hit by a car.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely.
Like, anytime a dog is in the shelter, we want to cheer. Yay, you're safe. Now we can find you.
Right. So it's really important. Something like 43% of all dogs don't get found.
Yeah.
And it's because they don't have a form of ID. So make sure your dog's collar has a good form of ID. And here in Licking County, if your dog has a license and a sheriff picks them up or police, if they get a free ride home. So make sure your dog has a license and an ID tag. But beyond that, make sure your dog is microchipped. I found out the value of that when my own little felon slipped her leash and was wandering in the neighborhood, and a friend, and she went to the fire department. So basically turned herself in some ways. They took a picture, sent out a wanted poster of my dog, called the dog warden, who came and scanned her, found her microchip, and knew where to bring her home. So we had a very happy ending, although it was rather horrifying when I got the text from my friend, is this your dog? But we had, you know, we had a fence, and we had her on a line in the backyard that we thought she would be safe, and she slipped her collar. So make sure that you not only take care of your dog so that the fireworks don't panic your dog, But should there be an unexpected, you know, firework going off or something, make sure your dog has a way to get back home.
So yes.
That's one of the first
things. I know
that
some cities in Europe, I read about this last year, have silent fireworks, and they do that deliberately, partially to not frighten animals, and partially because so many people have PTSD. And I think that's genius. I'm all for, like, until that moment when I'd read that article, I never actually considered that so much of the noise of fireworks is added in.
Yeah, it's,
you know,
big
they
bang.
Don't need to be noisy. They're deliberately noisy. And I'm like, oh, stop. So that is not for our animals' benefit. It is not helping a lot of people and many, many animals. The noisy fireworks are alarming.
Absolutely.
So I think that's something to be really compassionate about and be aware of, and to recognize that an animal who breaks free in a moment like that is in panic. So even if your dog is well-trained, the odds of your dog responding properly when you call them back when they're panicking are very low. So we don't want that. So when you think the situation could conceivably be overwhelming for your dog, a carnival or fireworks or something like that, then your best bet is leaving your dog safely secured at home, you know, windows closed, air conditioning on, not windows open and dog leaping through the screen situations. But there are a lot of picnics and other fun summer activities that we would like to include our dogs in.
Yes.
So that's fair too, but there are always things that we want to be very cognizant of. And of course, the leash and the ID and the microchip are true regardless.
Mm-hmm.
But looking at your event from the perspective of, you know, is this a good environment for my dog? I recently was working with a client at a local park, and we walked through a picnic area, and I cannot tell you how many chicken bones there were just scattered around. So I think people were eating chicken wings and chicken legs and just spitting the bones when they were done out onto the mulch. Well, that's terrible for dogs. I mean, we had to just completely vacate that area because there were so many pieces that we couldn't predict and find that we couldn't avoid that. So even though you wouldn't be feeding your dog a chicken bone, it doesn't mean there isn't one in that area if you're out on a picnic or having a camping event or something like that. So being careful to notice, are there grapes, are there raisins, are there things that could be poisonous or dangerous to your dog, is an important part of picnicking.
Yes, and even if the ground is clear, that doesn't mean that your dog can't figure out how to get onto the picnic table. So if the ground is clear, make sure the dog is being supervised so that we don't have somebody going, oh, that chicken smells so good. I bet they wouldn't mind if I just took one platter.
Right.
So even if it is clear, make sure that your dog is well supervised. If the food is not being well supervised, if everybody's gone off to play, you know, some badminton or whatever, the dog needs to be well supervised so that those kinds of accidents don't happen.
And often that requires a short conversation, but a deliberate one. Like, you're watching the dog right now because I'm going to go do this.
Right.
Not like we're all sort of watching because then everyone assumes someone else is looking. So if we could just sort of say, I cannot keep an eye on the dog at this moment, so you're on duty until I get back, then we can avoid those issues.
That's a great idea.
I think that happens with little kids sometimes too. Where you're sort of like, okay, who's the one watching? Because I can't watch in this moment, but somebody needs to be watching.
That's right.
Taking your dog out for a walk or some exercise first can be helpful too, to make the dog a little bit calmer at your picnic or your party or event. So making sure that we've given your dog an outlet so that we're setting them up for success, and then bringing something fun for them to do while you're there.
Yes.
Because hanging out by the picnic table while you play Frisbee and while you eat good food is not actually that fun for someone who's not playing Frisbee and eating good food.
Right, right. So this is a good time to bring some stuffed Kongs. If you have a cooler, one of the things that, or depending if you're home and the picnic's in your backyard, one of the things that I find that the dogs like, what I call, are sort of Kong coolers. So you can plug the bottom, the small hole in the Kong with a piece of hot dog or some peanut butter on top of that, and then fill it with beef broth or chicken broth and freeze that. So we have like a beef sickle. Which dogs really like. I've done that in ice cube trays. Then I'll just stick it in the bowl bring a bowl and stick the ice cubes in there, the beefsicle cubes, so they can play with them and lick with them, and that's kind of fun. But the other thing I've also done is I've made homemade popsicles, where I just get a popsicle mold, and then I use some chicken or hot dogs or something else, put that in there, fill it up with chicken or beef broth, and stick a carrot or a green bean in as the stick, and then I freeze it. And dogs really have a good time with that. And to get it out of the mold, you have to put a little bit of warm water to pull it out. But I will do a little video of that and show you my end result of my dog's sickles. So those are all things that can also help to keep your dog temperature a bit lower too, which is really important on these hot days. So that would be the other thing, is make sure your dog has some shade.
So if and lots of water.
Yes, lots of water. So bring, one of the things that I do is I go out to the tractor supply store and just get a 3-quart, 4-quart horse bucket. And it's great because I can stick toys and all kinds of things in there to haul to the picnic, and then I dump the toys out, fill it with cold water, and my dog then has plenty of water. So it's not just a small dish that he will go through. So it's likely that he won't go through the entire bucket of water, but he has plenty of it there. So that's kind of a quick and easy. And you can get them for about
$5. I have to admit, I haven't been to the tractor store to buy a horse bucket lately, but I will add that on my list because clearly I need to go hang out at the good places like you do.
Yeah, well, you can get them at Tractor Supply, which I love Tractor Supply. I really do.
I'm sure Tractor Supply is right here around the corner from me. I'll have to look for Tractor Supply. I seem to have missed it in my suburbia.
Okay. But you can also try. Well, okay. I also can buy them at the Granville Mill. So, yes, I live in a rural county.
I might possibly be picking on you a little.
just a tad. But they're fairly common. Okay.
Yeah. And very convenient. So yes. If you have a big bucket that you can throw things in so that we've kept the dog stuff together and we have everything we want for the dog, yeah, that is super convenient. I'm just picking on you because okay. I honestly, I don't know that I've ever been to a Tractor Supply store, but
man,
I'm going to add that to my list of things I need to do.
You got to go. I love it. They have great dog treats there too, by the way. They have really good dog food. Literally, Tractor Supply has some wonderful brands of dog food. And pooper scoopers, I think, for elephants. These things are huge.
But I live a sheltered life, but I will plan a trip to Granville very soon so that we can do that. So when we're thinking about these things, another piece to keep in mind is that cars get too hot fast. So when you're running into 7-Eleven to buy more ice, you got a problem. You know, you've got to make sure that we're not in there so long that your dog is going to be too hot, because it's incredibly fast how fast it becomes too hot for our dogs. And the dog can't sweat the way our bodies do.
Correct.
So heat stroke is much trickier and much bigger issue for dogs. So when we're thinking about all of these variables, honestly, in some cases, the first question is this going to be fun for all of us? And if taking care of your dog the whole day is going to take away your fun, then maybe we're better off making the dog super happy at home. Mm-hmm. And then you go out and have your wonderful picnic that you completely enjoy, and you come home tired, and the two of you hang out and watch Netflix together. That's perfect. Or if having your dog there is going to be great for both of you, then you're bringing the toys and you're bringing the activities and you're making sure that you've got your leash and your ID and an ability to tether this dog to something and setting up the shade and the water. And it feels like a lot of work. And yet you and the dog have a fantastic time and everyone enjoys it. Then it's totally worthwhile and super valuable.
I sometimes liken it to if you're going to take your baby or toddler to a picnic, you bring the stroller. And you bring the diaper bag, and you bring the change of clothing, and you bring all the things that the baby's going to need, and you're going to park them in the shade, and you're, you know, maybe even have a little wading pool or something. Not that much more stuff to bring for the dog, you know? So if you think of it that way, that this is something, and think about all the little things you may be bringing for yourself. And so that's why I really like the whole, you know, like 5-gallon, or not even 5-gallon, 3-gallon bucket thing, because I can put most everything I need for the dog right in there. And so, yeah, it's worth it. One of the things that you can also do, too, is in the shade, there is such a thing as a cooling mat. I do not have one for my dog. I understand that they exist. And
yeah, we will put links to cooling mats in our show notes. But a cooling mat can be a really nice investment to help keep your dog cool in situations.
Yes. There's also a bed that is like made out of PVC for the frame, and then a netting that is above the, it's what, 4 or 5 inches above the ground, something like that, Colleen? Mm-hmm. And so that air can circulate. And
yes,
that's a lightweight bed that would be, maybe you're not going to take it on your picnic, but it might be something to consider having at home for your dog. If your dog's going to hang outside on the patio with you, you can put that in the shade. And then, especially for our big furry ones like our Berners, they need a little bit of extra air circulation. So that's something to think about,
yes,
too. And water. If there's a water element, that's a great way to get your dog, if your dog will go in the water, to cool off. So if there's a stream or hose or wading pool or something along that, a lake that your dog can be in, the only thing with that is I do warn people, it's a very uncommon but is very deadly. It's called water intoxication. And it's a condition whereby a dog, or it happens in people too, by the way, they take in more water than they can handle. And when excessive amounts of water are ingested, the sodium levels outside the cells are depleted, and the body compensates by increasing fluid intake into the cells, and that can cause swelling of the organs, including the brain, and the pressure on the brain. The dog may end up having difficulty breathing. You can have seizures, lose consciousness, and can die within very short period of time, like just a matter of hours. It can happen very, very quickly. So what you want to do is, if you're going to be playing, like throwing your dog's ball into the water repeatedly, you might want to think about throwing a flatter toy like a Frisbee, because they're less likely to ingest as much water when they're swimming back with the toy. Make sure the dog gets out of the water and is on land for a little while, that he pees a lot. So when I'm playing with my dogs at the lake, I will throw several into the lake, and then we come on land and we do several tosses of the ball or the toy on land and make sure that, you know, he or she stays out of land and that they pee and that they get a break, because they need to be able to get rid of that excess water. And if they're constantly going in and getting more and getting more and getting more.
Right. That's really important. And actually the water intoxication brought up a unrelated note, which is dogs should not have alcohol. So it's not funny to let your dog have a few sips out of the beer can, or, you know, have the dog lick whiskey off your fingers. Don't be doing those. And that often happens at events where people are drinking and they just think it's funny. They're like, well, let's give the dog a little too.
No,
not funny.
not funny at
then,
all.
And then the next piece is, of course, the dogs in the water, life vests are a great idea.
Yes.
For helping to keep your dog safe and buoyant. And sometimes they're getting really tired, but that will help to make sure that they're never too tired or too overcome by the water.
Well, the other thing is like my Bingley, he had a bit of a ewe neck. What happens is when a dog has a ewe neck, their head goes up real high, so their bottom comes down in the water. So those are the dogs that you see that aren't steaming along like a battleship, but are sort of flailing with the front paws, and it makes swimming very ineffective, and the dog tires out quite a bit. So I got a life vest for Bingley, and that actually gave him the buoyancy so that he did rest the right way in the water, and it actually taught him to swim better. But it was also a nice thing to have when I knew we were going to be spending the day at the lake. I would just put his vest on him in the morning, and so then he had it on all day long, so that whenever he went into the water, I knew that he was going to be safe.
I have friends who are in the Coast Guard, and they are adamant about people out on boats having life jackets on and dogs out on boats having life jackets on. And I think it's just a real basic safety technique that if we just sort of, here's the rule, when you're going to be on the water, having a vest for your dog can be a very helpful thing.
Yes, it is. And I mean, I can, we got ours. It was fit them very nicely, and it was very reasonably priced. I think I got it at L.L. Bean, and I think they're also available at Rough Wear. So I can get a couple of links for those as well on the website.
So what we're basically saying, short version, is we totally want you to have fun with your dogs this summer, but recognizing all of the pieces that can make that a little bit complicated, the heat in particular, but other safety things to make this a fun and exciting summer for you. And we hope you have a fantastic 4th of July, and we hope your dog has a fantastic 4th of July, and those might not look the same.
That's right.
It's okay.
One other thing I wanted to mention about heat is if you walk your dog, you might want to think about mornings and evenings rather than the heat of the day. And a good way to test for whether or not it's too hot for your dog's very sensitive paw pads is to put your hand, the back of your hand, on the pavement. If you can't leave it there for 3 to 5 seconds, then it's too hot for your dog to walk. So that's a little thing to remember, is to time your walks for your dog so that you can have that time together, but they're not going to be suffering from the heat, because they can get, their little paw pads can burn, and that can be very painful for them. So,
yes.
Okay. Well, yes, we do want you to have a great time with your dog. We want you to try all different kinds of things, and hope you have a great 4th of July. And thanks, Colleen. I'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Thanks for listening to Your Family Dog. Got questions? Interesting ideas? Colleen and Julie would love to hear them. Call 614-349-1661. Or visit www.yourfamilydogpodcast.com to share your thoughts.